not going to be looking at ancient words today. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. And I'm going to be doing a lot of reading. So if I see your eyes are closed, I'll assume that you're simply listening and not sleeping. Also, we're going to set the stage here a little bit because, like so often in scriptures, the people who are involved in the moment are unaware of the great things that they are going to contribute to. And of course, the book of Ruth, its most extraordinary thing is that it introduces a Gentile into the lineage of David, which of course is ultimately going to be the lineage of our Lord. And so here we are, starting the book of Ruth, and what we should be looking at is, where is this ending up? It's going to end up with the marriage of Boaz and Ruth, which of course will produce Obed, and Obed is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. We're getting very close to David. Nobody knows that this lineage that has gone before Boaz has actually is going to become the lineage, because nobody knows about David yet. And nobody knows about the time that David comes in, that in fact it will be in a monarchy, a stage of monarchy. We're now in Judges. So we're going to look at it from the perspective of how do things get done right? And things get done right by people doing right and being rather particular about doing right. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and the man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Now, you can wonder about whether this sojourn in Moab was the right thing to do or not. I've heard people use it as an allegory for a bad decision. I think it might well be that the Lord was not pleased with Elimelech, that he headed out when suffering was going to take place in the land. Maybe Elimelech had a little bit of money and could move. Wanted to head away. He will have had to have something to support himself in that land. He won't have had land in itself. But whatever happens, we now have three widows, and the head of these three widows is Naomi. And I want you to start looking at Naomi as a really rather special person, because without Naomi, there wouldn't have been a Ruth. And she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, where she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Naomi's not thinking about herself here. She's thinking about her daughters-in-law and their best chances of life and success. So rather than keep them with her and force them to stay with her, she is giving them the choice of going home. Lord, grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, No, we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night, and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Both of these young women have become very attached to this woman, and very clearly they see her exemplary existence, her life, and they still want to be a part of it. Orpah, of course, says that she goes back, and she said, See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth says, Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Naomi has shown Ruth, both her daughters-in-law, but particularly Ruth, has seen something in Naomi which tells her something about the Lord, the God of creation, the God of Israel. That's a very great compliment to Naomi. They are going off into the unknown. They probably don't know where their next meal is coming from. But there's something about what they have learned and what Ruth has learned that gives her confidence. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more. Also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, Is this Naomi? She said to them, Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Well, it's so easy when you have disasters and terrible sadnesses and losses in your life to believe that, in fact, the Lord has delivered them for some kind of reproof or other against you. And, of course, as we look at this story and know how it ends, we know that that's not the case. But we see dear Naomi suffering horribly. Now, of course, this is in the days before television, so when somebody arrives in a town, everybody comes out to look at them. Now, you know, we have come into a society where we shut the door on our houses, and that's it. But this will have been a big story, the return of Naomi, and the story will have gone around, and I'm saying this in order to prepare us for the next chapter. And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. I think the barley harvest is the earlier one, I think. I think the wheat is later than the barley. When we were in upstate New York, we had half of the people were farmers in the church. So you get, no, Brother Charles, it's something. We'd also pray for rain and pray for plowing and stuff like this. It was a very interesting time. But I think the barley harvest is earlier. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, Go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." That's a wonderful greeting in the workplace. You know, most people show up and say that they can't wait to Friday or something like that. Here we have the boss saying, "The Lord be with you," and the worker saying, "The Lord bless you." It's wonderful. And then Boaz said to his young men, the young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." I'll take a little time. We went to visit, I may have told the story before, we went to visit my parents. They had just moved to a new place in Wales, all small villages, into a new village. And they just had one store in the village. And we arrived in the afternoon. And we went up to the store because we wanted a couple of things. It's also a post office, you know, just a sort of tiny store. And we walked in there, and Sandra saw a VHS tape. They had a little rack of them. And she said, "I'd like to see that tonight." And I said, "Okay." And so I picked it up, and I walked over, and I said, "Could we rent this?" And the woman said, "Oh, yes, sir. And I said, "Do you have a form I have to fill up?" He says, "Oh, no, you're Mr. Atkinson's son. Aren't you visiting from America? We've only been there 3 hours, okay?" But so they needed their identification. "Please let me glean," she said, "please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. So Ruth was no slouch. Just as Tom was describing how, Paul had said, we worked. The Apostle Paul saying we worked. We didn't. Ruth wasn't looking for handouts. She wasn't going to sit on her hands and not get on with it. And so here she is working hard. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young man not to touch you?" And he is caring for her right away. And he knows that because she is a foreigner, she will be possibly subjected to treatment by the young men that would be appropriate. And he is making sure that she is safe. "And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward to be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." What a precious statement. What a really precious, loving statement. And then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes. I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her, and also pull out some of the bundles of her for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." Now Boaz here recognizes that he has the power to change, to alter the state of an individual. He owns these fields, he has this, and he sees somebody worthy and needy, and he doesn't hesitate. He gets on with the business of doing the right thing, which is helping this woman. what a terrible thing in this world, especially at this time, for two women on their own. They can be without advocacy, without support, without help. And he steps in and does the right thing. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she bore out what she had gleaned, beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I have worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, cleaning and until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, and he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are my redeemer." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning I will redeem you. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning." Here, you know, the thing is, the purpose, of course, is that Ruth wants Boaz, and Boaz wants Ruth. And she has made this declaration. I'm assuming that Boaz is probably an older man. Maybe he is widowed and already has a family, perhaps. He would not presume to involve himself in a younger woman. And he would need encouragement from her to believe that this was what was wanted. But even so, he's still doing the right thing, because he's not trying to circumvent the process in order to make it happen. He knows that there is another person who is in line, and he's going to do it right. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went out to the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, These six measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. So he knows what to do, he knows he's going to do the right thing, and he does it quickly. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel, concerning redeeming and exchanging, to confirm the transaction, one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have brought from the land of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are my witnesses this day. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman. They prophesied. Of course, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave the conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For you, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, given birth to him. And Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a single name, saying, he has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So we don't know really what kind of story it is that we find ourselves in. All of us. We know that during this time, just as during this time, doing the right thing was difficult. Doing the thing precisely right was difficult. I see that every day in my work day and in my home life, doing the right thing is not easy. But God requires that of us. We don't know what our story or where our story is going to end, just like the people in this story here. And it ended in greatness, because it produced Obed, and then Jesse, and then David. So the message is that we should really work to do things right and let the Lord achieve his purposes through us doing things right rather than us trying to do it the other way around. It's not a hugely profound point, but it nevertheless will set a challenge to every day of our lives. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the ancient words, actually, for your word, because ancient it may be, but it is contemporary to every time, and it is for the reproving and of the hearts of your children to help us to live for you, which is our duty here, which is to glorify you and to please you in what we do. We thank you for this story. We thank you for Naomi, who is faithful and loving and who loved and believed in you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
They would take a nap.